Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is Susan Hansen, and she is a collaborative lawyer and mediation at Hansen Hildebrand, as well as co-founder of the Family Mediation Center. And welcome, Susan.
Thank you for having me. Always enjoy our conversations.
Yes, Sue has been a guest on our podcasts over the years. We've worked together very closely with many clients and presentations and events. So it's good to have you back in our podcast studio.
Thank you.
Good. So let's talk about divorce. We're going to cover a lot today. We'll talk about divorce and the what to do when you're thinking about a divorce or at the beginning of a divorce. You've got some great education and information to share with us, as well as talking about the role of working with a financial advisor. So lots of great stuff to cover today. Let's just jump right in. And I guess I always think it's best to start for our listeners who are maybe contemplating a divorce, thinking about what it would mean for their financial picture and what steps they should take initially. So how do you counsel somebody when they're just thinking about maybe going forward with a divorce?
I think the main thing is to recognize the need for education and kind of take a pause and make certain that you get as much input and education before you start. And we even have a blog about preparing for divorce. And one of the key things I think is to really resolve self-care. That in order to navigate this emotional, financial, legal paths, it's not easy. And it even if it's not conflictual, it's stressful. And so taking care of yourself and having a plan for self-care physically, emotionally, but also that piece of education is really key. And at the front end, that preparation means really resolving to learning information and not handing decision-making over to someone else.
I think self-care often gets missed in life in general, right? It's an important thing to keep in mind. How do you start by getting organized as you're preparing for considering a divorce?
I think there's two things. One is just the gathering of information. I don't suggest moving money and transferring items, but I do suggest gathering information so that you feel you have a foundation of the basic financial picture, tax returns, being certain that you have a list of your passwords that you may forget as you're in the midst of gathering information later, but just preparing to be able to pull that information together is important. And the key piece to me is to think of divorce as providing kind of a menu of options on how you navigate the process of divorce. And I find too many people who are contemplating and finally take that step of saying, yes, I'm going to divorce, want to do it fast. They want to file. They want to get through it. They want to get over it. It's going to affect them for a lifetime, their family and their finances. And the process they pick has a profound impact, not only on the time and the cost of the divorce itself, but frankly, the rest of their lives as far as outcome. So I ask that people really take some time. We have a lot of information on our website. We offer a free initial call to help them really understand there's do-it-yourself, there's mediation, there's collaborative divorce, and there's a more traditional each hiring lawyers to navigate for you. And people should understand the pros and cons, the cost, emotionally as well as financially, and really weigh what will be a fit for them with their spouse. What can they do? What can't they do as far as a more cooperative divorce?
I hear that same thing. I want this to be fast. How fast can we get this done, right? I think once the decision is made to move forward, people do not want to get stuck in the process for very long. But that's good advice to take your time, really understand the different ways to do things, and then, you know, make a move that works best for your personal situation. Go back a little bit and talk about, you mentioned collaboration, you mentioned mediation, traditional divorce. Talk just for a moment about the differences of those styles of divorce or processes.
And actually the most popular option right now is do it yourself with no legal professionals. There are challenges to that. I think people don't know what they don't know. They may not understand the financial or legal impact of decisions. They may want to get it over with, but they don't know what they're agreeing to, and they end up back in court or back in conflict later. But aside from do-it-yourself, where the kitchen table may not be the best place to decide your financial and family future, the options would be mediation. And in mediation, there's one lawyer, and that lawyer is a neutral, odd as that may sound, who works jointly with the couple and helps them together navigate their divorce. It can be one of the more efficient, time is less, cost is less, but they get legal education. The lawyer mediator cannot give them private or separate advice. It's an open process to help them navigate understanding the law, understanding the impact of their decisions.
And that's a good solution for some, for a couple who maybe have talked about this already. It's less complex, and they want to maybe consider doing it themselves, but need the education and really want to have kind of an advocate walking that journey with them.
That's exactly right. It's really a bridge between do-it-yourself and two lawyers.
Okay.
And it can work. Doesn't mean everything is always peaceful and that there's no conflict, but it does mean they're willing to really commit to finding an agreement. Bluntly, about 97% of cases end with an agreement. Very few cases are decided by a judge. And if so, it's an incredibly lengthy, expensive process. But almost all cases end up with an agreement. It's how you get there.
Right.
And so for some couples that pause, they are able to work together. Even if their marriage is ending, they don't necessarily want a high conflict divorce.
Right. Good. I think that that is, I'm hearing a lot more individuals who thought maybe they wanted to do it themselves or felt that they had all these agreements. And then as they start to talk about it a little, as they're at the kitchen table talking about it a little more, they realize having kind of that neutral third party would be helpful. And I think the Family Mediation Center, of which you co-founded, has been really helpful for a lot of people who are just trying to navigate that, but want to keep conflict minimized, want to keep cost and time efficient as well. So what other types of divorce are there?
So another type of divorce is collaborative divorce. And I think there's often confusion about what does that mean. It is a separate and distinct process. So for couples who commit to a collaborative divorce, they each hire their own lawyer and all four work together in an out-of-court resolution process. So the couple is hiring individual lawyers as settlement specialists, not as litigators, not as court advocates, and they commit to an out-of-court settlement process. In fact, if there's a dispute and someone says, I want to go to court for a court fight, the collaborative lawyers are off the case because they've come in more like in-house counsel. They are working individually with their clients to help them create a livable agreement. If that doesn't happen and it's going full out court dispute litigation, then they hire litigation lawyers. So collaborative divorce has some teeth in the commitment to have a cooperative settlement. I think that it's, again, effective for people who want a lawyer at their side as part of the negotiation. The visual would be for mediation, three people at a table, the mediator and the couple navigating the process. And for collaborative divorce, it would be four people at the table, each with their own lawyer.
Okay, good. And when we look back decades ago, divorce was done very traditionally. And so it's amazing how, you know, this industry has adjusted to meet the needs of families and to become hopefully more efficient and less conflict oriented. But when would a traditional divorce make sense?
I think there are just some couples who cannot communicate with one another. There are also some with safety issues who do not want to be in the same room, even with a lawyer. I think there are times where the issues are such and the entrenchment in positions is such that a couple really wants the lawyer to handle the case and be the negotiator rather than participating in a collaborative process or a mediation process.
Right.
So there are times where someone feels safety, emotional imbalance, those kinds of conflicts, and some just have a straight legal issue.
Yeah,
the value of a business,
right,
or something more substantial where they want a court's input. Again, they rarely end up with a trial. So it really is important to me that people think about the fact that they want to be part of that resolution, because only the couple is going to have to live with it.
Right. Right. That's who's impacted.
Right.
Correct. Okay. Well, good. That's really interesting. So if somebody is deciding that they want to get a divorce and they have to get some more information about all the things that you talked about, what's the best avenue for them? You had mentioned earlier talking with different attorneys and getting the information. What's the best next step?
I think what's important is to not move too quickly, to really get information, understand the options. We do free phone calls for anyone calling our office and talk with people for a half hour or more to help them understand choices. If they want deeper information, we offer a flat fee consultation of up to 2 hours, and it's $300 at our law firm, $250 at the mediation center. But we want people to understand choices mm-hmm. and not feel pressured to hire a lawyer or make a decision when they don't fully know their options. But I think it's important for people to get the information and feel they understand that menu of choices, do-it-yourself, mediation, collaborative divorce, traditional, before they retain anyone and create a professional team. That, to me, is the second step.
That's very good advice. And I hear a lot of our clients who are thinking about this saying, my friend told me to call this lawyer, or my friend said I should do collaborative, or my parents want me to go this route. And I think getting the information, it's always wise to take a pause, get information, get educated so you make a decision that you can feel comfortable with at the end of the game, because you're right, you're the one that's living with that decision. So when we started chatting before the segment today, you mentioned something called a no court divorce. So let's take a quick break, and I'd love to get educated on that.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellenbecker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker. I'm the president of Ellenbecker Investment Group, and my guest today is Susan Hansen. And we just covered a brief segment on different types of divorce and how to prepare for divorce. And before we started chatting today, you mentioned that you've got some new information and some good, exciting stuff to educate our listeners on. So I'll let you just jump right in and talk about the no court divorce.
There's actually a very big change for Wisconsin divorces, and that is, as of December, there is now an option for a couple to get a divorce without having to go to court for a final hearing and court approval. I've long thought that people should not have to end their marriage on a witness stand, but that has always been the practice and the requirement in Wisconsin. Now, for couples who mediate or couples who are each represented by lawyers, there's an option called divorce by affidavit. And if a couple has gotten legal education and worked with a lawyer mediator, or each gotten legal advice by hiring lawyers, they can opt to ask the court to approve their divorce through e-filing paperwork. And it's an affidavit process in which they commit to saying they fully understand and are making an informed and voluntary decision, and they go through the information about their children and finances that they would otherwise have done in a courtroom under oath for a final hearing. That paperwork can be submitted, and if approved by the court, the divorce can be granted with no necessity of a court hearing. So it's a significant change for Wisconsin. I think it recognizes that there's value for the individuals or couple to get legal professional input. So if they do that jointly with a lawyer mediator or individually, the court is willing to recognize the value of that and allow that couple to file for what's called a divorce by affidavit.
So does this mean there's no court proceeding at all?
It means there's no court appearance at all. It means the paperwork is filed to start the action after the 120-day waiting period. If they have a full agreement on their child and financial issues, then paperwork can be submitted with their agreement that allows a court to grant the divorce without any court hearing at all.
So that saves the final court date people are always waiting for and worried about and the pressure. You just go through the process. As long as you use the professionals to help you through the process and come to an agreement, you get to avoid that court proceeding.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I've never known anyone who wanted to go to court.
Right.
Well, there's always a handful. I shouldn't say that. But I think for most people, it's a very high anxiety, stressful thought to have to appear in a courtroom to end a marriage. And so this allows both a greater sense of avoiding that court process, but doing it with an out-of-court resolution. So I think that the new statute not only supports legal information and education, helping them make informed decisions, encouraging that kind of involvement, but it also encourages out-of-court resolution. Mm-hmm. And while everything may not always be peaceful, most cases do resolve. And this encourages couples and lawyers to reach an out-of-court resolution so that they can avoid the necessity of that public court hearing.
Right. Well, it takes the timeline a little bit away. I know with clients, they tend to get very anxious when there's a date on the calendar and they feel they have to make decisions within a certain time frame, or they can't make decisions until that time frame. It just allows people maybe to move a little bit more at a pace that's comfortable for them as well.
I think there is certainly more of that. And depending which county, you had longer waits or shorter timelines or mandatory court dates. So this really does allow that couple to work with either a lawyer mediator or with their respective lawyers to set the timeline that's going to work for their final hearing. It avoids, for example, in Milwaukee, substantial delays because the courts were so crowded, where a couple could get an agreement and have to wait months for a final hearing. Well, now it's very different with the option of divorce by affidavit, because the papers are submitted and typically that court review happens very quickly with...
I was going to ask, is it a week, a two, a month, something like that?
I mean, I can never control how long it takes a court to make a decision, but we're finding that a week or two happens, that the review happens, and the assuming it meets all the criteria, the court still has to approve it, but it's approved on paper instead of from the witness stand.
Wow. And so this is new in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Do you know if it's in other states as well?
There are many states that have never required a final hearing.
Okay.
In major civil lawsuits or other court actions, you can submit your agreement to the court without needing a hearing. It's been unique to divorce to require that final hearing for court approval. But some states have never required it. Some still do. Wisconsin did through all of my career up until December.
Wow, interesting. So this is not a new process for divorce. This is using the same processes that we talked about earlier. It's really just a new way to kind of finalize it.
Yes. Ah. It's a way to get court approval, which is required to have a judgment of divorce. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's a nice big change. I suppose it makes things a little bit easier on your end as well.
Well, it certainly avoids a lot of time and it avoids a lot of cost. The cost of lawyers going to court simply for approval of an agreement, now it can be submitted through e-filing.
But if somebody chooses to do a divorce on their own at the kitchen table, they cannot use this process.
That's correct.
Okay, so it still protects the clients, which I think is so important.
I think that the court needs to have some assurance that there's voluntary, non-coerced, and well-informed decisions, and they're relying on the lawyer mediator or the two lawyers to provide that. If they are not involved with lawyers, then the couple has to go to court and do the witness stand, and the court will ask the questions that it deems necessary.
Okay. So would you expect that this is pretty consistent practice now going forward for most attorneys, or...
I think that it is certainly, we're already seeing at our firm a significant uptick in interest in mediation.
Okay.
Because I think for couples, it's an incentive to work with a mediator versus do it yourself, because part of what they can do is avoid that final hearing. And that is a significant incentive for many couples. The positive of that is in mediation, they're going to get legal education and make better informed decisions.
Right, right. Well, that brings me to kind of the next thing I want to talk about, which is, you know, how can we help people make good decisions for their family, good decisions for their future? And I know part of what we've always really appreciated working with each other is that team approach and the importance of having the right team in place. So before we take a quick break, let's talk about what team members we need in going through this process. And then we can return back and talk about really what that looks like to build a good team.
I think that team members can be variable depending on the needs of the couple and the family. If they have children, certainly if they have minor children, they're connected for a lifetime. And so I strongly support working in a team with a child and family specialist. So that's a mental health professional who has particular experience and expertise in separation and divorce issues for families. And that specialist helps them create their family plan. So instead of trying to hammer out a schedule with a lawyer or on their own without necessarily thinking about things that might work well or not work so well, they work with that family specialist who helps them create a plan with a focus on the needs of their children. Clearly, we see that with minor children, they need
right.
custody, placement, mm-hmm. terms in their agreement. But even for adult children who are often overlooked, having those conversations about divorce, trying to look at the restructuring, what's their family going to look like after the divorce is done? How are they going to handle holidays, maybe grandchildren, other things that are in that picture? That family specialist can be priceless. So I strongly support that. And then the financial neutral is brought into the process itself to help with education and option generating and decisions. But there's also a team approach with financial planners so that the individual or couple has the resources to fully understand their financial decisions and the current and future impact. And again, that financial planning role can be priceless because it carries over after the divorce.
Right. That's the biggest stress, I think, for individuals going through a divorce. They can look at the assets that they have and say, okay, I know that I'm going to get this portion of it, or I'm going to have that income. But the question I get as the financial advisor is, what does this mean for me? Am I still going to be able to retire? Am I still going to be able to put my kids in college or take care of my medical needs? And that's the hard part, is understanding we can work through what it looks like today, but it's really important to understand what it means down the road as well. And so I think it is important to have that financial professional on board with the team, as well as a tax professional. There's so many tax implications to figuring out how to divide assets and how to manage income going forward and all of those things. So I think it's also helpful to have a tax person on team. Good. All right. Well, let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll talk just briefly again about sort of what that looks like to incorporate a financial professional and how you like to work in that capacity.
Ellenbecker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
All right, Sue, let's talk a little bit about the financial impact of a divorce and all of the financial decisions and how your legal decisions and the legal choices you make kind of impact finances going forward, and spend some time talking a little bit about that.
I think the financial restructuring is obviously a significant issue for anyone going through divorce. I think what we're seeing now is that it's particularly significant for older couples. The mm-hmm. phenomenon of gray divorce is very real.
Yes.
Divorce rates overall are down, except in one category, and that category is older couples, 50s, 60s, 70s, occasionally 80s. But people who are in long-term marriages who are choosing to divorce, and for them, it's not just how do we divide what exists now. It is their financial future. It's their financial security and planning, frankly, from divorce through potential end of life. So in that area, it's essential, in my opinion, to have a financial planner. As lawyers, we look at now, how do we divide assets, debts, and income? How do we reallocate? What's necessary legally to transfer title and do those things? But what a financial planner can do is the future projections of saying not just where are you at the divorce, but where will you be 5, 10, or 20 years from now? And so I've really learned the value of financial planning as a component of education for the individuals or couples I work with.
So if somebody wants to incorporate a financial planner with their divorce attorney, what's the first step? Do most divorce attorneys have people that they work with? Do they have to go and find two different people? You know, how does that work? It's always so much more helpful when you kind of get a lead in on who to reach out to.
I'm always cautious about speaking for most attorneys.
Of course, I get that.
I think they're unique.
Right.
But I will say that what I like to know is have they had a financial planner? Mm-hmm. I encourage all financial planners who may hear this to work with couples and work with them jointly if they're currently clients of theirs so that both parties feel supported and educated by the financial planner. And I often work, as I have with you and others here, directly with the financial planner because they can be a great resource. Many times there's been years of forging relationships and there's trust and there's expertise and working together, literally of helping understand the options, having the financial planner run projections, look at accounts. What's a retirement account with a tax effect? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to keep the home or not? What are some of the long-range planning tools that you can use? And I will have the financial planner do that jointly with the couple. And it can be very effective and very efficient to do that. For others, maybe one person doesn't feel as supported and they want a different financial planner, then I would make referrals.
Right.
Sometimes there are people, oddly enough, who have no financial planner. And I am at the point of saying, I think you should have someone take a look at this through the lens of how is this livable and workable for you long term. And so for some, their first contact with a financial planner might be as a part of their divorce education. So yes, we'll make referrals. Often people have someone, and the question is, can that person be incorporated as part of the education team?
Right. Right. And as with anything in life, I see this with my clients too. We sort of have this divide and conquer mentality, especially when we're raising a family or we're working, we're busy. It sometimes seems like one person in the relationship leads the financial piece. And that's where I see a lot of the clients that we've worked together with and that I've worked with over the years in the gray divorce area. It's not always both people have a good understanding of their finances. And so a lot of times, you know, one person in the relationship has a very good understanding of their finances and the other doesn't. And so when I work with people in that situation, it goes all the way back to what we talked about in the beginning, which is making sure the first thing you do is understand your information, understand what accounts you have, start opening the mail, make sure you have the passwords, you know, pay attention a little bit to what debt is out there and what income comes in, because it can be very overwhelming to start this process already behind the eight ball on the education component around the finances. And so a lot of times we talk to our clients that are currently clients of ours contemplating a divorce and take time before we even go through the divorce path to try to understand how comfortable they are with their assets. Do they know where they can get the information? Do they understand what they spend on a monthly basis? Because those are all questions you ask in the first meeting.
Yeah. And those are things, it goes back to the process choice, education, right, making a well-informed choice. The same is true in finances. And they may not have been involved, and often you're right about the allocation of one person more responsible for investments and financial planning than the other. They have to learn it. And I think too often there's a tendency to say, oh, well, my spouse handled it, or now I'll hand it over to a financial person to handle it. And the answer is no. You need to get educated. You need to understand it. And both parties need to, because they're going to have to live with it. So that's where I find the financial planners who really understand the dynamics of divorce are going to come in as much as teachers, as opposed to just being investment advisors, so that they help with that financial education.
Yeah, that's critical. It's critical for all people to have a financial advisor.
I mean, no matter that you're biased.
No, not at all. But no matter where you're at in your journey, right? Whether you're just starting, or whether you're looking at a divorce, or you're looking at retirement or long-term care circumstances, I think it is important to have that education and to work with somebody who provides education. I always tell, it's scary because sometimes you don't want to know all this stuff, right? And so I tell our clients, you don't have to know every little thing about your portfolio. You don't need to know every single investment that you have or every single move that's being made. But at a high level, understanding what you have, what it means to you, what it means to your financial future, if you do have to split it or share it, what that looks like. Those are all really important things that provide confidence and conviction as you kind of move forward with the rest of your life. And I do think most people want to feel safe. Most people want to feel confident with the information. There are a few that just want their head in the sand. I remember my mom had a picture of a bird, a flamingo, with its head in the sand, and said, "This is not your financial plan." But I think some people do like that. But for the majority of people, it's just the education is really, really important.
And I do think that you're right. There are people who want someone to handle it for them. That's how they've handled their marriage, and now they want someone. So the financial planner who says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of that for you," I think that's the worst advice.
Yeah.
I think it's so imperative for people to be able to understand their options and really own some responsibility because they have to live with it. I see too many people who go through a divorce and years later wonder why they agreed to what they agreed to. And some of it is people who are just like, get this over with. I'll agree to anything to get it over with. But they have regrets, and those regrets fester. And there's issues both for their family and potentially financially in the future.
And it's not easy to go back and change it.
Oh, no. And some things are unchangeable.
Yeah.
Property division is final as of the date of divorce. So there are things that have finality. And so it's particularly important that people understand that.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I would like to know the top three things somebody should do if they're thinking about going through a divorce. And then I want you to just give me a few mistakes that you've seen that you think people should stay away from.
Okay. Top three, go back to the idea of the preparation. How do you prepare for a divorce? I think you have to resolve to take care of yourself. I just think people ignore that.
Yeah.
And that compulsion to get it done and get it over with can get in the way of their future planning. So that self-care, I think, at the beginning, really the process option piece, I can't emphasize enough that people understand. It's not just getting a referral and saying someone recommended Sue Hansen lawyer, so I'm going to hire her. No, you're going to learn about your options. You're going to learn about the lawyer. What's their approach? What are your choices? And what's the best fit for you and your family? And if it's safe, have those discussions with your spouse. Because if the two of you can jointly commit, you will get it done in a cooperative way, much faster, much less expensive, and frankly, with much healthier long-term ramifications. So I think that process piece is essential. And then you build your professional team after you have some understanding and you're a more informed consumer. People spend more time researching what TV to buy than what lawyer to buy. And it concerns me.
That's very
good
advice.
So I'd like them to take their time.
Well, those are three very good solid pieces of advice. Those are takeaways for our listeners today. That's great.
Mistakes to me are the phone call and the quick decision. I think that often has many regrets and many issues for people. I also think the mistake, bluntly, is the kitchen table divorce. I mean, yes, for certain young couples, no kids, no assets of significance, they can absolutely do a checkbox form. For most couples, I think they don't understand what those boxes mean, and they affect the rest of their lives. And at a minimum, they should have a sit-down extended consultation to really gain some understanding and then make a choice from there. So I think that quick decision is part of it. I think also people get advice in divorce that unintentionally spurs conflict and cost. So the idea of, you know, should you start dividing accounts? Should you start pulling money out? Should you start transferring assets?
Hiding money. All that advice that your
all of those
friends
things,
give
right.
you that you shouldn't be taking.
Well, and on that issue of friends and family, I think it's wonderful to have a support system. They are not part of your professional team. Yeah. And I caution people because everyone feels they're an expert in divorce.
Yeah.
My quick story going through the checkout line at Metro Market was that this woman was buying a lot of spices. And the checkout person said, wow, you're buying a lot of spices. And she said, well, my husband and I are divorcing and I have to set up a kitchen. And I'm just restocking. At which point the bagger at Metro Market said, oh, you're getting a divorce? You better take half out of all your accounts, go into every one of your accounts and take out 50% and protect. And I was amazed at the legal advice coming from that person.
With very little background information.
I suggested that would prompt a very high conflict divorce. And the woman very calmly smiled and she said, oh, actually, we're getting along fine, and I won't need to do that. But there are people who, based on their own experiences, what they saw on TV, what they read on the internet, believe me, Google is not a replacement for some informed legal decisions. So part of it is that, too, of being cautious about the general perception of divorce as high conflict. For most couples going through divorce, it is not that. And they do want to get it done in a more reasonable, civil, low-conflict, low-cost way.
Mm. It is so good to see you today. Thank you for coming in and chatting and giving us all this really wonderful information. It's so important for listeners to take a pause, get educated, step back, take care of themselves. That was all really great advice today. So we'll get back together and continue at another time, digging in deeper on the whole process of divorce and how to help people get through that in the healthiest way possible. But for today, for our listeners, thank you for joining us. I hope the information that you received was helpful and meaningful, and feel free to share it and pass it on. And of course, at Ellen Becker Investment Group, before we plan, before we invest, before we advise, we always listen. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.